Paul the Apostle gives a warning to the Corinthian church about misplaced affections. Let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Today we're going to be in verse 11 through 18, talking about a serious warning that Paul the Apostle gave to the Corinthians and how that applies to us. In this passage, he is telling them about their misplaced affections and how that could lead them away from the centrality of Christ. So let's look at this beginning in verse 11. Out of heartfelt, he says, "O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, so also be open." Listen to what Paul says as he enters into this subject, or continues actually with the thought, but here he's challenging them. With sincerity, he's saying, "Oh, Corinthians," as if they were dear to his heart, because they were. And he says, "I have been very open with you. I've not hidden anything from you. In fact, in this area where you think I've transgressed against you by saying that I was going to come and I did not come, but the reason I didn't come is I didn't want to hurt you anymore." He's still spending time here trying to address how they misplaced their affections rather than receiving the measure that God had given him to the Corinthian church to strengthen them and to build them up. Their affections had turned to other places and to other people. False apostles, no doubt. And he warns them in this whole process. And he says to them, "You're blaming me." It's as if the Corinthian church was playing the victim card. Oh, when you've been around for a while, you recognize that when it happens. "Oh, Paul, you have hurt us because you didn't keep your word. You said you were going to come when you didn't come, and now look at us." And Paul is saying, "Wait a minute. No, I've been very open with you." He said, "Your only restriction is yourself, your own misplaced affections." That's really where it is. He says, "So now in return for the same, I'm going to speak to you as though you're children. I'm going to have to correct you. But you also need to be open. Open to reconciling. Open to coming back together in this relationship." You've got to see now that the Corinthians had disassociated themselves and distanced themselves from Paul and felt like they were justified in doing it. They're being misled, but felt like they're justified in doing it because Paul said that he was going to come and he chose not to come at that time, though he did come later, but not at the time they thought he should come. They really were not discerning his spiritual authority. They were not discerning his place in their life. And he's saying to them, "I think just as I have had self-searching and opened myself up to you, you have to do that now. Otherwise, you're keeping yourself restricted." And I've watched this as pastoring over the years. People restrict themselves by becoming the victim and projecting on others their own misplaced affections. And this is exactly what Paul is warning them about. Now listen to what he says here. We're going to read several verses in verse 14 through 18 because he talks to them about the necessity for them to be alert and aware and even separate themselves from those who have misled them. Verse 14, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.'" Then he says, verse 17, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Now, Paul quotes there at the end from several Old Testament passages that we'll address. And Paul often did not quote word for word, but he quoted the gist of the matter when he quoted passages or cites them out of the Old Testament. Let's look here at verse 14 when he says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now that's often used concerning people who want to marry someone who is not a Christian. And it applies there for sure, because we're talking about covenant relationship, and that is very much of a trial when someone would try as a believer entering into it. Now, you know, Paul addresses the issue when people who are already in the world and they come to Christ, not to try to get out of the marriage. That is one place, however, he says in 1 Corinthians 7, that if the unbelieving one departs, meaning they want to leave that marriage, then that person is okay. They're not held and bound to it if they've done everything they can to make sure it works. But that's not really what he's talking about when he says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It does fit not marrying someone who's not a believer, and it would apply to that. However, here in this passage, he's saying to the church at Corinth, you have joined yourself with false apostles. You've joined yourself with people who are not even Christians. It's interesting how he uses this term. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, or what are you doing being yoked together with an unbeliever? Now, he references the Old Testament concept of being unequally yoked, because it was told us in Deuteronomy 22, verse like 10, that you're not to plow with a donkey and an ox together. That's unequally yoked. Then this idea of yoking together, it's not being just hanging around someone in the presence of someone, but it's being partnered together. It's joining together in covenant. It's joining together in that kind of relationship. So he's saying that ought not to be so. You're not to be joined together in that way, not to be unequally yoked. Like I said, even though it might fit marriage, because obviously you come together in covenant, here he's referencing it, though, in their heart, in their misplaced affections and their relationships away from him to others. Here, when Paul says not to be unequally yoked, it's speaking more about influence and the influence together in a covenantal relationship, not just being around someone else, but being in that relationship. That's why he says what fellowship has, what koinonia, what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness. And he uses this term, Belial, which would be a Hebrew word that would we refer to Satan. Of course, we know that it actually means a wickedness, but he says, what association does Belial have with Christ? He said, there's no comparison. Open your eyes and see the difference between light and darkness. That's why he says, what communion is there between light and darkness? So when we're using these words, we're not talking about hanging away from or being apart from the world. Now, we are in the world, but not of the world. But this passage is often used to say, well, we shouldn't be around people that's in the world. And I understand that. There is really something about you needing something from the world, but that's different than us being a heart to love those who are in the world. And so Paul's really not talking about coming out from underneath that kind of situation. In fact, he said in one place over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is that you're not to associate with those who are involved in certain sins. He said, I'm not talking about those who are outside of the church, because you'd have to leave this world. So we live in a real world, and Paul's not intending for us to be so holy that we remove ourselves and get in some kind of Christian ghetto. That's not what he's talking about. He's referring to communion, covenant, fellowship, sitting around the table of the Lord, engaging our heart in covenant. Those situations were not to be unequally yoked. We go to work, we go in the real world, we love our neighbor, we reach out to people who are wicked or unrighteous or lawless, but we do it to reach out to them. The moment I need something from them, though, the moment I need their love, their attention, and their approval, I'm in trouble. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's saying don't be unequally yoked in the sense of communion with light and darkness. Because why? He says, by what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Now, I know Corinthians had trouble with idolatry, But he's saying something here besides just idolatry. He's saying you have forsaken the measure that God had given to you in his temple, the church, the body of Christ, which include Paul, and that you've gone after others and made them idols. And so he's here in this passage, he's saying, I know in times past you've had association and problems with idols, as he says in 1 Corinthians 8. But he said, here, you are the temple of God. And he's talking to them collectively as the church. Now in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, our bodies individually are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But here he's talking to them as the church collectively. You are the temple, Corinthian church. You are the body of Christ. What association does that have to do with idols? Because you are the temple. Now he says and quotes concerning, I will dwell with them and walk among them. That's God's promise. And I love it how Paul brings in the New Testament understanding to these Old Testament passages, because that's a good way for us to know the authority by which we interpret hermeneutics by the scriptures, is that we let the Bible interpret the Bible. So here in Ezekiel 37, verse 26 and 27, here's what it actually says. And Paul references this when he says, I will dwell with them and walk among them. That's what God is saying about us, his people. The passage says, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and I shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That passage right there says the church is the fulfillment of all that their prophets talked about. And Paul, with authority, interprets it as so. Now, what I just said then is opposite of dispensationalism, because dispensationalism says, oh, that's going to be a future fulfillment for the nation, the natural Israel. No, this is Paul saying, this is the fulfillment of Ezekiel the prophet when God says, I will be among you and I will dwell among them. And he's saying to the Corinthians, who were Gentiles, by the way, that come into the gospel, that references you. God will dwell among you. So therefore you come out from among those idols and separate yourself from those unbelievers, or those he references there that's in darkness. Isaiah 52 is quoted here when he says, come out from among them and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean. He quotes verse 11 in Isaiah 52. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. Well, how's that possible? We, as the body of Christ, carry the presence of the Lord through the conversion power of the cross. It is the fulfillment of not being in communion, fellowship, partners with unbelievers or in darkness. Now, once again, it's not because, doesn't mean that you separate yourself from the world in some Christian ghetto, but it does mean in partnering. It does mean in covenant. It does mean in the sense of sitting around the Lord's table and being in that family union together. That is reserved for the righteous. And that's why Paul quotes, and I will receive you, meaning you not only separate from ungodliness, but you're separated unto God. God receives us. Why? Because he's made us holy in Christ. And he says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. He quotes that right out of Jeremiah 31 and 9. Let me read it to you. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications I will lead them, and I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Wow. Once again, Paul uses that reference to Israel and Ephraim to us, that God is our father. That's the fulfillment of what the prophets were talking about and what Jeremiah was declaring. Now, the reason that excites me is because it gives us the authority to know, even when Paul's giving them warning to the Corinthians, he uses these references from these prophets of why it applies to them. When he quotes this, you notice he quoted from them, not word for word, but he gave the authority of those prophetic words to us as the church. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord Almighty. Oh, the word that said the Lord Almighty means he who has his hand and control over everything. When Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth, he's saying, you've entangled yourself with your own affections. For those who are false teachers, for those who are false apostles, those who tricked you and pulled you into them, and now you're associated with them as if they're the temple of God. When they're not, it's idol worship. He's saying, separate, be who I've called you to be. Open your eyes and see the measure that God has given me, he's saying, to you, to the Corinthians. That tells me we need to discern rightfully the body of Christ. We need to know and discern whom God has placed in our life. Yes, we're friendly to everybody. We reach out to everybody. We don't want to be some kind of island in ourselves. But among believers, we need to know those who labor among us and discern them properly and receive them accordingly. Thank you for joining us today in the Word.